Good afternoon and welcome to Acero Arequipa first quarter 2024 earnings conference call. Joining us today from Lima, Peru are Mr. Tulio Siriado, Chief Executive Officer, and Mr. Ricardo Guzmán, Chief Financial Officer and IRO. Today they will be discussing Acero Arequipa first quarter 2024 results as per the press release issued by the company on April 24th. Please note that all lines have been placed on mute to prevent any background noise. After the presentation is finished, we will open the floor for a Q&A session with the management. At that moment, further instructions will be given for the procedure to follow if you would like to ask a question. Please be advised that today's call is for investors and analysts only. Therefore, questions from the media will not be taken. If you are a member of the media and wish to direct any questions to the company, please contact the company directly after the call. For a copy of the earnings report or the webcast presentation that accompanies this call, please visit the company's website. Before we begin, I would like to remind you that forward-looking statements may be made during this conference call, and they do not account for economic circumstances, industry conditions, the company's performance, or financial results. As such, these forward-looking statements are based on several assumptions and factors that could change, causing actual results to materially differ from the current expectation. Thus, we ask that you refer to the disclaimer located in the earnings release before making any investment decision. It's now my pleasure to turn the call over to Mr. Tulio Siriado, Acero Arequipa Chief Executive Officer, who will begin the presentation. Mr. Siriado, please go ahead.
Thank you. Good afternoon, everyone, and thank you for joining us today for Acero Arequipa first quarter 2024 conference call. We value your participation today and your interest in the company's performance. Before we begin, let's briefly review today's agenda, as shown on slide number two. First, I will take a moment to highlight some of relevant events and recognitions. Second, I will provide an overview of our consolidated results. Afterward, I will pass the floor to Ricardo Guzmán, our CFO and IRO, who will discuss operational and financial performance in further detail. Finally, we will be providing our guidance for the full year 2024 before the questions and answer session. Now, let's move on the first point of our agenda. Here, we'll discuss some events and recognition in slide number three. In March, the shareholder meeting approved a cash dividend payment of approximately 40 million soles, which was paid in US dollar on April the 16th. Acero Arequipa moved up 22 spots in the Merco Responsibility ESG 2023 ranking and positioned among the top 30 leading sustainable companies in Peru. Acero Arequipa stand out in the Global Sustainability Yearbook and reached the top 15% score within industry peers under the Standard & Poor's Global ESG score. Acero Arequipa has once again been awarded in the Great Place to Work certification for the period from December 23 to December 24. Now, please, let's proceed to slide number four for a brief review of our financial results. Please note that all presented figures are consolidated and unaudited for 2024. Additionally, any growth rate shows or commented will be year over year unless stated otherwise. During the first quarter 2024, revenue experienced a 7% decline year-over-year due to lower sales in Peru and to other non-recurring markets. However, it was partially mitigated by higher sales in Bolivia, Colombia, and Ecuador. During the quarter, Acero Arequipa EBITDA continues an upside trend and was higher year-over-year to a higher gross profit as a result of higher margins in Peru and other markets. Net income was higher as a result of a better operating income and lower interest expenses. By the end of March 2024, we continued reducing our inventory levels, leading to lower working capital requirements compared to the end of 2023. Also, as of March, we continued with our investment plans and allocated PEN 99 million soles toward CapEx. The company showed a decrease in short-term debts, resulting in a lower total net debt compared to December 2023. Now, I would like to turn the floor to Ricardo Guzmán, our CFO and IRO, who will further discuss financial performance for the quarter. Ricardo, please go ahead.
Thank you, Tulio. Good afternoon to everyone. As always, it is a pleasure to have you joining us today. Please let's move to slide number five. As Tulio mentioned earlier, during the quarter, consolidated revenue reached PEN 1.1 billion and 89 million, or a 7% decrease. Domestic revenue declined by PEN 123 million, mainly due to lower volume and prices. And other markets category increased by PEN 33 million, or 60%, due to higher volume sold in Bolivia, Ecuador, and Colombia, and sales of byproducts and non-ferrous products. Regarding other markets, Bolivian market remained our main destination, followed by Colombia and Ecuador. Other market revenues represented 21% of total revenue, compared to 17% in the first quarter of 2023. On a per product basis, rebar and wire rods and other products revenue declined PEN 96 million and PEN 2 million respectively. This decrease was partially offset by a PEN 9 million increase in revenue from merchant bars and bars for mining molds. Now let's move to slide number six to discuss our operational profitability. Gross profit for the period stands at PEN 180 million, with a gross margin of 16%, 5 percentage points higher than the same period of 2023. This margin increase was mainly due to better margins in certain products in the local market, higher sales in Bolivia, Colombia, and Ecuador, and sales of non-ferrous scrap and byproducts. As a result, EBITDA for the quarter rose by PEN 35 million, reaching PEN 163 million, compared to the first quarter of last year. The EBITDA margin stood at 14%, compared to 10% a year ago. Now, let's take a closer look to the drivers of EBITDA in slide number seven. As we discussed earlier, EBITDA for the quarter was PEN 163 million, which was 35 million higher compared to the same quarter of last year. This increase was driven by an increase in gross profit and partially offset by a 5 million increase in SG&A and a 10 million from other net expenses. The increase in SG&A expenses was driven by higher personal expenses and third-party expenses. Moving to slide number eight, let's discuss the drivers behind our net profit of the quarter. During the first quarter of 2024, the net profit was PEN 60 million, which was PEN 26 million higher year-over-year, mainly due to higher operating profit, lower in interest expenses, despite a lower income from net exchange difference and higher income tax. Now let's move to slide number nine to discuss our debt metrics. As of March 2024, total financial debt stood at PEN 2.5 billion, PEN 135 million lower than as of December 2023. The debt reduction is attributed to lower short-term debt, which reached PEN 1.1 billion as a result of less inventory levels. The debt balance for the new melt shop financial lease was PEN 661 million, and other long-term debt reached PEN 740 million as a result of disbursements of loans to finance CapEx in Peru. The consolidated net financial debt reached PEN 1.9 million, a PEN 53 million reduction as total debt was lower. Consequently, net financial debt to EBITDA ratio lowered to 4.1 times, down from 4.6 times registered in December 2023, mainly due to lower debt and higher last 12-month EBITDA. As of March 2024, 48% of debt was denominated in soles, 45% was denominated in US dollars, and 4% in bolivianos, and the remainder in Colombia and Chilean pesos. Now let's move to slide number 10 to discuss working capital and CapEx. As of March 2024, operating working capital, which excludes cash and financial liability, decreased $49 million to $1.3 billion versus December 2023, mainly driven by lower inventory levels. Days of sales outstanding were almost similar as of December 2023. Days of payables were lower at 49 compared to 53 days as of December 2023. And finally, days of inventory decreased to 120 days from 124 days. Now let's take a look at CapEx. During the quarter, CapEx totaled $99 million, mostly consisting of investments allocated towards a new rolling mill in Pisco, a wire and nail plant, a line furnace enhancement, new scrap cleaning machine, and a new Lurin distribution center, among others. Now, let's turn to slide number 11 to discuss cash flow. As of March 2024, total cash balance reached $555 million, lower to the balance as of December 2023. Operating cash flow was positive $174 million, mainly explained by EBITDA generation and the reduction of inventory levels. Net cash from investments totaled $91 million, primarily driven by investment in property, plant, and equipment, and interest and dividend income of $7 million and half million respectively. Cash flow from financing amounted to a negative $155 million, which includes net amortization of $117 million and interest payments of 38 million soles. Now let's move to slide number 12 so we can discuss our updated guidance for 2024. Now we will be providing our view of what we should expect for this year, given today's context. We expect an increase in revenue of 2% year-over-year. However, we expect an important recovery in our margins, and thus EBITDA 2024 to be about $630 million, an increase of 45% compared to 2023. The CapEx target for this year is expected to be about $230 million, lower than 2023 as our CapEx cycle comes to an end. Main investments include a new rolling mill, nails and wire plant, and lime furnace plant, among others. Dividend payments for 2024 are expected to be around $60 million, or 36% above of 2023, while the earnings per share ratio is expected to be above 0.20 soles. We thank you for your attention today and look forward to any questions you may have during the Q&A session. Moderator, please proceed.
Thank
Thank
you.
You.
At this time, we will open the floor for your questions. If you would like to ask a question, please message the host through Zoom chat, and your microphone will be unmuted. Questions will be taken in the order in which they are received. The first question comes from Marco Mejía. Marco Mejía, please go ahead.
Thanks, Belisario. Good morning, Ricardo. Tulio, thanks for the presentation. I have a question. Do you see this sale of non-ferrous and byproducts to stay at those levels for the next quarters?
Julio?
Sí. Yes, of
Julio, you
course.
want.
Sí. Dale, Ricardo.
Yes, we expect that for the next quarters.
For the next 12 months, at least.
Okay, thanks.
Yes, if you want to ask a question, send a text message through Zoom chat. We have another question from Carlos Rojas. Carlos Rojas, please go ahead.
Thank you. Thank you very much for the call, Tulio. And I have three questions. The first one is regarding the noise that we have been hearing about Chile and the Huachipato closing of the plant. They were claiming that Chinese steel can come from abroad. My question goes regarding if you have contemplated anything like that, or if we in Peru are already having that competition or some safeguard regarding that. That would be the first question. The second question is if you can update us a little bit, how has been the development of the project that is already finished of the steel vault? And the second and the last one is how do you foresee the ratios for 2025 on the debt level? Thank you very much.
Thank you. Remember, we are quite different company between Huachipato and us. No? On our side, we have a new state-of-the-art equipment. Huachipato has an old ones equipment, and that's the reason we have much better cost than Huachipato. And Huachipato also far concentrated 70% of his sales in the bars for grinding molds. We just have 5% concentration in this market, in this special market. That's the big difference between Huachipato and us. Which one was the second one? I forget it.
About the project of the steel was no in the melting shop.
It's working. It's working very well. We are working now around 80%, 85% of capacity. We expected to increase this in the end of this year, by the end of this year, and the next year must be full the capacity. No? Everything is okay on that. On the third question, please, Ricardo.
Yes, with regards of the, I understand it, the behavior of our leverage for 2025. Well, as mentioned during the CAPEX session, this year we are finishing all the CAPEX, the cycle that has been for the last 3-4 years. And as a matter of fact, this year CAPEX is well below of what we saw in 2023. So this year, the leverage ratio will be, even though by March we have already reduced the leverage ratio, by December we expect it to get even lower. And for 2025, if there's now any new projects or an M&A that we always evaluate opportunities, they should continue the decrease of this ratio. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Congratulations, Ricardo and Julio.
You're welcome.
We have another question from Marco Mejia. Marco, please go ahead.
Thanks, Elisario. My next question is, we have seen this quarter a growth of sales to Bolivia, Ecuador, and Colombia. Do you see a higher demand from these markets in the next 12 months?
Yes, mainly in Colombia, not in Bolivia. Bolivia are in big economical problems, the country, no? As you all know. We expected to maintain sales about the same in Bolivia, but we expected to grow mainly in Colombia.
Thanks, Tulio.
There appears to be no further question at this time. I would like to turn the floor back over to Mr. Segado for closing remarks.
Thank you. Thank you all for your participation during today's conference call. We truly appreciate your continued interest in Aceros Arequipa. As we move forward, we remain committed to transparency and open communication with our stakeholders. We invite you all to join us again for our second quarter 2024 call to continue to discuss Aceros Arequipa achievements and financial results. Finally, if you have any further questions or need additional information, please feel free to reach out to our investor relations team. Have a good day.